Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs Podcast, the audio experience for basketball officials. Serve the game.
Morning, man.
Morning. How are you doing, man?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
It's great, man. Nice to finally have some time face-to-face or screen-to-screen. I know it's been a while.
Yes, it has. Yes. You've been doing some great stuff, man. Kudos to you, man. Honestly, kudos to you. You've been doing a lot of great things, and I see what you're doing. And, it's nothing else, you know.
So. Well, you've been a longtime supporter, so it means a lot to me that you're now coming on this new journey in this next chapter of Crown Refs. I think it's going to be the best chapter yet. So super, super grateful and appreciative that you got in on the ground floor. And I'm excited to meet with you now. This is something I'll probably do with everybody that joins you. Maybe I won't do a Zoom with everybody, but definitely everybody in the mentor tier. I'm going to sit down and have a nice one-to-one, and hopefully we'll get more one-to-ones based on availability and who else joins the group. There'll definitely be more opportunity for that, but it's just a great way to build that rapport between me and you. And I want to get to know you a little bit more, both as a person and as a referee, because the more I can know about you and your background and your officiating mindset, then I can offer you more help, you know, and I'll be able to kind of give you more support there. So I figure we'll just kind of go through your referee mentor profile. I know you had some ideas on there. Maybe we can expand on some of those ideas, and we can jam that way. I know you brought some questions too for me.
Yep.
Awesome. So yeah, we're going to record this as a podcast. So just for the people listening, just give them a little bit of background.
All right. So I'm from Toronto, Canada. I live in a small town called Richmond Hill. It's more so like a farmish, small city side. Nothing too, it's not big. I don't live downtown Toronto where it's always fast paced. Fast, go, but I live in that area all my life. I put fitness towards my lifestyle every day. I find it's very, can become very addicting, especially in Toronto. Everyone's on this fitness grind. I'm a cozy guy. I like to be mostly indoors watching TV after I finish work, and I enjoy my spare time reading a lot, that's aside from reffing.
I know we had that mentor meeting or the Zach Zoom Pro Rules Talk the other night, and now that got done around 10 o'clock, and I saw your Instagram. You went running after that, so kudos to you.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I was after that meeting. I was like, I sat in my room. And I was like, you know what? I'll go for a run. Let me just get a run in. So I just did it.
Nice. So let me ask you this. What has interested you about Crown Refs Mentor, and why did you decide to join?
The reason why I joined, because there's the expandable of the opportunities that you want to reach out to referees and for people that want to get better and they want to expand on their knowledge. And I feel like it's a really good platform to put yourself out there and just be a sponge to learn more of the game. And I think the more you do that, I feel like there's just more opportunities. So
is there anything specific that you're looking to gain from the mentor program?
Absolutely. Just to grow as an official, the knowledge, the learning, network even more. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And we got a great connection and small community already, right? I know you feel it the short time you've been here, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, that's the reason why. And I think it's a great way to, from what you're doing, it's a great way to, expand, because you just never know. So,
Awesome. Thanks for that. All right. So let's get into some of the things that we're going to help you with? What are your biggest areas of officiating that you would like to improve on? I know you wrote everything, to be honest, which is great. We can tackle a lot there, but just list some of your biggest pain points.
I feel like the biggest thing I want to work on would be how to control when you call technical fouls, unsportsmanlike fouls, or flagrant foul. You know, how when, especially when things are getting heated in the moment. Those are things that I feel like I need to work on. And then again, when it comes to different rules and mechanics, you know, especially from Canadian side to the American side, it's a totally different game. So I think the consistency is just learning both ways. And you know, it's just a lot of repeated knowledge every day that you know you have to do. So that's the biggest thing.
So what are your goals as far as the American game? Which level are you looking to learn? I know you're vested in FIBA, right? You want to become FIBA certified as well. But I noticed you came here this summer. You're getting your reps in New York. So what's your kind of idea and scope for the American game?
Definitely, I definitely want to get into that college level. That's a must. Definitely want to get involved with that. TBL would be a great opportunity as well. And, you know, just, I feel like, you know, the more I go, the more I get opportunities and the more I get that feeling and then being in the situations and how to handle the situation and then going to a camp that I can learn from the situations that I'm, you know, that I could have done better at. Those are the things that I think that would apply to me. So,
okay. Just to give you a little bit of perspective. So you wanted to do college, right? So let's say you do college, you're going to have to work high school first, right? So you got to learn the NFHS rules.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to have to get situated in that, work that for a few years. Then you move up to college. Then you learn a new rule book. That's the NCAA rule book, right? Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that you wanted to do TBL. That's the pro rule book.
Yeah.
So just be conscious that that's four total rule books then for you. So just be aware. And that's one of the difficulties with officiating, I think, is when people bounce back and forth from league to league. And it's very common because you have to go through certain leagues to get to other ones.
Yes.
But it's difficult. So just make sure you have those switches in your mind to differentiate when you're talking about which rule. Like, for instance, the other night, pro rules talk, like you should only be in pro mode, only pro rules, right? Like, don't get confused. Oh, this happens in high school. It's different. It's great to point out notable rule differences. That'll actually help. But I just want you to be focused on the organization and level that you're studying at that time and not to get too overwhelmed and confused with the different levels and books.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, good. All right, so back to wanting to improve on technical fouls and flagrant fouls, those real loud plays in the game, right? It's really important on those plays where we really slow everything down. Mm-hmm. And what helped me, I know it's great to say you got to slow down, but I focused on super slow-mo because slowing down wasn't slow enough for me. When I was starting off, I would try to slow down, but it wasn't slow enough. So I had to go to the other extreme and say, all right, I got to focus on super slow-mo. And all that did was just give me a little bit added perspective on slowing down even more, because those are the hardest plays and you really need a lot of time and patience to be able to administer those correctly. And also those are very emotional plays, not by us. We can't be emotional, but normally the participants in the game are emotional. And that's the reason why we're calling a technical foul or a flagrant foul. So it's very important that you are emotionless. So two main things I want you to think about and that could directly help you on these plays is super slow-mo and emotionless.
And emotionless. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't mean like you're not interested. That doesn't mean like you don't care. It just means everyone around you is acting out of emotion, which clouds their vision. We have to have, you know, a clear lens. So that's why if we take the emotion out of it, we're not vested in either, you know, it going either way for either team. We're just trying to get the play right. And we're just trying to, like, you know, administer that play correctly. So those are two big things that I think can help you with that. What do you think about that?
That's perfect. Thank you. No, that's perfect. Because I remember in a game I had, if you don't mind, I can tell you, if you don't mind telling
that's
you.
What we're here for, man.
It was a U-17 game, U-18 game, and defensive player fouled an offensive player, very, very hard, and he didn't like the contact, so they bumped heads to each other, and he kind of gave him like a little kiss, like a little reaction. I'm not going to do the full reaction, but giving him a reaction, and I blew my hand up with the foul and gave him a tech because, you know, he went right to his face, you know, did a little taunting. And then, you know, things were just getting out of control a bit. And, you know, and then my partner came in to help out. And then at that time, you know, while I'm important, there was still, you know, still a mess going on. Coaches were like talking back to each other. And, you know, I was trying to, before I made the technical call, I just tried to get everyone, you know, control, wait. And then after everything was calmed down, I made my report and then we shot one stop. And then we resumed back to the team possession. So, yeah.
Let me make a suggestion for those type of plays. And it sounds like you're describing a play where there's multiple opponents in each other's face. And then you said the coaches also came out?
They're about to, but then I wanted to make sure, you know, they were calm first. And then just go back to your benches and then, you know, wait from there. Mm-hmm. And then I made a report after and then we resume.
So forcibly sending teams to their bench during these moments is a great game management tool that will completely keep you ahead of the game and eliminate any more friction and any potential like violence or escalation of that play. As soon as you see players get in each other's face and it feels like, all right, they need a timeout. You have every right. Do, 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 do. Both teams back to your bench. I need you back to your bench right now. And your partner can take one team. You can take another team. But when I say forcibly, you're using that loud, authoritative voice. You're trying to get their attention. Like whatever they're doing on top of what you're saying to them. No, you get their attention. I need you back to your bench. Please, gentlemen, please back to your bench. So that's something you can talk about in your pregame. Like, guys, you know, if we have a flagrant foul, we have a real hard foul, B1 comes and crushes A1, let's get in between those players and let's immediately send both teams back to the bench. It's a great way to stay ahead of the game. And sometimes players just need that time and space away from each other to reset. And we give now the coach an opportunity to do their job and coach their team back to being focused on the game. So, you know, that's something to use next time you see these type of triggers or these type of play types, whether two players getting in each other's face is always a great way to send teams to the bench. If you feel like it's necessary, if like we've had nothing all game and they do it in a real subtle way, then yeah, okay, you got to use your discretion. But I just want you to keep that in your pocket as a tool. It's a really good tool. And once you do it, people are going to appreciate it and they're going to look at you like, all right, he's running the game. He's getting us back to the line is what I call. And the line is just back to the game. Anytime all the unsportsmanlike conduct happens, we're off the line. We're not on the game. You know, we got off the track. So anytime we can get back on track, and a flagrant foul is another way to do it too. If you see a hard foul from behind, get in between, send both players to the bench. And another tip for you, hard foul from behind, B1 comes, or it could be anywhere. B1 intentionally or flagrant fouls A1, go to A1. Don't hold back B1 because B1 just delivered the blow. B1's not going to kick him when he's down. But what's A1 going to do? A1's going to get up and retaliate. So the quicker you can get to the injured or hurt or fouled player, the better you're going to be able to de-escalate that.
Gotcha.
Because that's the hot button right there. It's the guy who got fouled or the girl who got fouled. They're mad.
Yeah.
We have to manage them, not the person that just delivered the blow. You find that helpful?
Yeah, very, very. Thank you.
Good, good. No, these are great discussions to have. They're very helpful. And I need these reminders too. Officiating is all about continuing to be a lifelong learner and always going over things you've already learned. Just because you learned something a year ago, it's like, all right, well, you need a refresher. I need constant refreshers. My head has so much referee information going through it and going back out of it that we need these opportunities to refresh and rehash.
Because sometimes you can't really talk about, you can, it's not spoken a lot, just little things like talking about technical fouls, unsportsmanlike, flagrant fouls, double fouls. They're big calls to especially to report. So especially when a game is very tight and it's very aggressive and,
I think you hear some old circles saying, don't call this or don't call that. You've heard that language before?
Yeah.
I think that language is really dated now. I don't think we can ever live by that now. You should never call a double foul because something happened first. Well, that's not true. Things can happen at the same exact time. Mm-hmm. Right? So just call it as written. Remember, we were talking in the Discord the other day about beating the tape. We always want to beat the film because the film is always right. We always want to be right on film. Okay. So it doesn't matter the player's reactions during the call, or the coach's reactions, as long as you trust your gut and have that internal trust, that's all that matters. And just focusing on beating the tape. So you hear refs say, don't call 3 seconds. I mean, Adam, you're going to let a guy sit in the lane 5 seconds and not call it? Well, the tape is going to show that's a missed. That's an incorrect no call, and I hear it all the time because I speak to a lot of officials and I'm hearing this constant dialogue. Oh, I don't think we're supposed to call that, or this official told me don't call that. Then just try to be right on every possession,
even if it's like a U10, U12, U13.
Again, you have to have context for the game you're working, and this is where the gray area and the art comes into play.
Gotcha.
You got to do what's right for that game. Are you going to call a college game the same way you call a U10 game? Probably not. But you're still going to stay within the rules and you're going to try to beat the tape. Now, but again, most of the feedback I give you is for your interscholastic games, your high school games, your college games, the real games you're going to do during the season to move up. But being an official, obviously we work year round, so we deal with other things, right? But I want you to keep the college mindset and the international and FIBA mindset above everything else, above the 10U games, above the 8U games. We can figure that stuff out.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Cool.
I know you have some other questions. What else do you have for me? What else can I help you with?
Double fouls.
Okay.
Yeah. So say for example, A2 and B2 are in the post and I'm on each side and they're pushing each other. He's trying to get established movement to get the ball. And then suddenly they started bumping each other and then it looks like it's about to be a fight. And then after when you call it a double foul, would you point at the ground at them?
Double foul signaling?
Yeah. So for example, you blow your foul and then you do the double foul.
Okay. Signal. In high school and NCAA, the double foul is just both arms out, both fists out. We don't bring it up here and then go out. It's just foul, fist. So how would we do the double foul? Here's how I like to do my double foul. I tweet once or twice with the fist up, boop, 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 just like I'm getting ready to punch, or I don't punch anymore, but like you're getting ready to call a block or a player control, boop, 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 and then pop both arms out.
Gotcha.
So one or two steps in, because it's kind of an abnormal call. You want to have good authority on that and present a clear sharp signal. So, you know, maybe a double tweet, boop, 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 double foul. And then I don't like pointing, but on a double foul, I don't mind pointing. I don't like pointing to players, but in it, there's certain situations like a double foul, I might point to players just to make it a little bit more clear because a lot of people aren't used to seeing a double foul.
I see. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Oh, this is the hero. My apologies.
No worries. We're learning. Yeah, you know,
my apologies.
And back to your play. Back to your play. Obviously, we want to get the first displacement. But, you know, I've seen plays where, all right, A1 and B1 in the post. A1 does a little chuck, which raises your eyebrows. Okay, easy, use your voice. Then B1 does a little chuck, but you're like, it's not enough. Then they both chuck each other. That could be a good example of a double foul. Boop, 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 double foul, if it happens at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now, if A1 chuck, right, B1 chuck, and again, I'm saying those aren't fouls. It's just contact, incidental contact. And then A1 a second time chuck after you've already used your voice and said easy, boop, boop, this way. Offensive foul. And just to continue with the double foul theme, you might find it on rebounding plays. I've called a few on rebounding plays where guys are just trying to jump up and get the ball and they both extend their arm or they both hold the shoulder. So that's something you might see. And also off ball, the play that you explained, those are other common ways. Besides that, I'm not sure any other double fouls besides like a blarge, which is something that we don't want.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But not the traditional double foul that you're referring to.
Okay.
Yeah. What else you got?
Hold on, let me see my list. I mentioned flagrant fouls. So I know when when there's a flagrant foul, that's a flagrant foul, right?
Well, we just have to be more specific on which organization again. Are we talking about high school?
High school federation.
Yeah, so this is it's called an intentional foul, but they also do have flagrant fouls in high school.
Okay.
But yeah, the signal would be to bring your arms up like that.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the signal in FIBA?
It's usually just unsporting, so.
You grab your arm like that? You grab the arm like that?
Yeah, so you hold first and then you.
So no disrespect to FIBA, but some of their signals are a little odd for me. So I want to be able to give you, it's okay. I'm not jazzing or anything, but I do want to be able to give you a little bit more tips to help you present stronger, because I do think you can find a better version of that while staying under the FIBA framework.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's the positioning of your hands or the way you raise your arm or the way you present your numbers. I know the 3-point signal is a little odd. Looks a little alien. Yeah. It looks a little alien-like.
Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah, and then.
Yeah. And listen, you can't do anything about the fingers, but you can do something about the way you present it up in the air.
Oh, for sure. Like
that doesn't have to look odd. That can look strong as well, and your 3-point make. You know, so you know, and we're gonna do a signal school. That's gonna be one of the mentor group sessions that we do. So we'll put on the video camera and I'll get to watch you perform your signals. I'll say, Adam, show me 5 blocks and then report it to the table. You'll show us 5 in a row just so we can see a little bit of a sample size. And then I'll kind of give you my tips and feedback on how to have a stronger signals. And then I'll go and you can give me tips or maybe pick up some things. So I think that'll be a really cool, night, a group signal practice. You like that idea?
That's awesome. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hold on. What else can I can ask you? How about a player control foul? Does that mean when you call like a player control foul, does that mean you stop the clock, you clench your fist, and then you put your hand behind your head? That's in the high school and college.
Correct. It's the same.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That's annoying to ask.
What's your player control foul? What's that look like?
So it's tweet and then.
Oh, you guys get to punch?
Yeah. So tweet and boom.
Yeah. I missed the punch a little bit. They eliminated it a few years ago.
So it's tweet and.
Exactly. You did it perfect. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
And you have a little.
Gotcha. Because when I was in New York, I should be doing that signal, but I was just doing.
Oh, trust me, most people are still probably punching in New York in the summertime.
Yeah,
it's not it hasn't hit full scale of adaptability yet, where all of the high school officials have adapted that rule or mechanics change, because a lot of officials who worked 10 years, 20 years, that's all they know is the punch. And it's tough to eliminate. Mm-hmm. It's tough to change your muscle memory. Just like it was tough for me to stop the clock on charge plays. My first year, I couldn't get my hand up. I would just point right away or punch right away. So that's why I had to slow down, super slow-mo.
Okay. Oh, another one I want to ask you, timeout procedure. I know timeout procedure is a bit different, and I learned it very quickly when I was in New York. So I'm gonna say a full timeout. So say, for example, black team calls a timeout. Is it tweet, black timeout, and then you do, if they want a full timeout, it would be full timeout, coach, start the clock, ball on the side. Would that be the way?
You pretty much nailed it. Absolutely. So timeout, black, coach. What do you need? What can I get for you? 30 seconds. So like, I'll show 30 second just to the players and just to the people on the court, because everybody wants to know what kind of timeout it is. Then I'll go to the table. Sometimes it happens right at the same spot and you don't need to do it twice, but I'll go up to the coach, whatever he tells me. If it's full, I'll let my partners know it's full right away. Let the players clear, let the players go to the bench.
Yes. Yep.
Then you go coach, coach of black, calls a 30-second timeout. We can start that clock. Thank you. And always being nice to the scorer's table. Please do me a favor. Thank you so much. Because remember, they're on our team too. And the more rapport you build with them, the more that they're going to have our back and help us out in that situation that hopefully doesn't go wrong, because we built a good rapport and they didn't mess up the clock in the last second, you know?
Absolutely. And if a player called a timeout, say 30 seconds, is it the same thing? But I know kind of same thing, but do you have to report, say, if it's red 15, 30 second timeout, something like that?
I'm not 100%. I don't think they write down in the book which player called it. However, they might for tracking purposes. So it doesn't matter. You, as long as you indicate black timeout, if you want to get more specific, black 15 calls a timeout full. Can we start that clock?
Gotcha. Okay.
That's a little bit more minutia. We definitely let them know the coach called it, but I would say it can't hurt. Yeah. Black 15 calls a timeout. That's a full timeout for black. Start the clock. Oh, no coach, but start the clock. Thank you.
Start the clock. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. That was another big thing I tried to pick up on when I was down there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, normally it's just tweet timeout, and then when we report, I always wait till players go to their team benches, and then I'll report a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we just do timeout. So.
I remember in America, this is technical foul.
Yes. That's
is this foul. Timeout in FIBA?
Yeah.
This is timeout and technical foul in FIBA?
Technical would be, so one finger and boom.
Oh, it's one finger, huh?
One finger and then the full, boom. Yeah.
See, I'm always nervous about doing one finger because I always miss my hand.
Yeah. So some guys do it. I see some of the OGs, especially in Toronto, they'll do the, you know, take two fingers and just, you know.
So that's another signal that we're going to have to clearly differentiate and not bring into the game when you're working in the States, right? If you do this means technical foul technical foul all the time.
Yeah. What's it called? I think one of the guys, I was learning and he, I had good partners and he looked at me, he's like, are you getting technical foul?
Exactly.
I was like, oh, my apologies. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. And then you realize, oh, you're from Toronto. Oh, okay. All right. It's okay. You're learning, man. He said to me, you're learning.
You're from the six.
Yeah. So, yeah.
How was your games in New York? Did you enjoy it?
It was good, man. It was great. Great experience. Definitely want to come back again. I feel like the biggest thing I've learned was figuring it out, like where to go, you know. New York is very fast paced. I know, definitely very fast paced. Nothing compared to Toronto. Downtown Toronto does have that fast pace, but nothing like New York. The games are good. Especially being in like control environments. There was some games where it was a lot above the rim, which was good. Especially when you're doing triple back-to-backs, which was good. So had an opportunity to officiate at the West Fourth Park. That was nice. pretty something.
That's legendary.
Yeah, the playgrounds are I found the playgrounds were a place to really show your skill as a referee. You know, I feel like, especially when you're in that, and it's kind of like, because like the coaches are just so passionate, players are just so passionate, and you have to just be like, bam, ready to go, ready if they, you know. But it was good, man. It was so good, you know. Yeah, I felt like I was getting evaluated at the same time I was down there because I'm new, you know, I'm learning. So, you know, it was good.
Good. Glad to hear, man. That was cool seeing you down there. I know I text you and I had a game that night, but it was about a half hour away. That would have been cool if you would have came up. Definitely next time, let me know when you're down. Is there any more questions I can answer for you before we wrap it up?
I think that's good enough. I asked quite a lot, so it was good.
That's good. This is a good start, right?
Good start, yeah. And I definitely have a lot more. I just don't want to, you know, sometimes I feel like, there's nothing wrong with asking a lot. It's just, your brain can kind of get, oof, you know.
No doubt. Just know I'm the guy who likes to answer a lot of ref questions. So the more you can bring and produce, the better conversations we'll have and the more
we'll Sounds good. Work. Definitely. All right? Definitely.
So I'm going to put out a mentor schedule next week. So you'll be able to see it once September starts. We'll get real organized. You'll start to see a weekly schedule of, you know, times and dates that we're going to meet and the topics we're going to meet about. So we're going to start, I think, September 2nd. We'll have an orientation call. And then... we'll take it from there, man. I'm excited. Once again, super grateful to have you.
And, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being a part of this program. And thank you for everyone else listening to the Crown Refs podcast. We are now on Patreon, so hopefully you can join us there in this next chapter of Crown Refs. Do us one last favor before you go. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to the Crown Refs podcast. Serve the game. Thank you.